הנה טובו מעניי, שבת אחים גם יחד. הנה מה טוב, הנה מה טוב, לילה 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 לילה.
Welcome to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin Solomon, Senior Rabbi of Congregation Beth Hillel in Roswell, Georgia. Beth Hillel is one of the largest Messianic Jewish synagogues in the world and provides a place where Jewish people can find the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus in Hebrew, and retain their Jewishness. It's also where Gentiles worship and embrace the roots of the faith in drawing closer to God. Click the link in the description to support this ministry or to view our YouTube channel. Let's join Rabbi Kevin now as he shares this word from Scripture.
Well, friends, we're continuing in the series based on some of the sayings of our founding rabbi, Robert Solomon, and the series is called The Wisdom of Solomon. And so we've been going through some of the interesting things that he would say or that he would repeat frequently that have a lot of lessons that have affected my life. And so I hope it blesses and affects your life as well. It is Shabbat Nachamu, as I alluded to, and I put in my email today to you members as well, Shabbat of Comfort. And I did that in as much as it is that Shabbat. However, it was a little bit of a trying to throw you off the scent of the message, to be honest with you. Okay. Today, also, as in this Hebrew day, so sundown tonight through sundown tomorrow, is actually a minor Jewish holiday, and not a lot of people know about it in the United States. Not even a lot of Jewish people are particularly familiar with it here in the United States, although in Israel, it's a different story, and it's really becoming more and more popular. It's an ancient minor Jewish holiday for sure, but it's seen a real profound revival in Israel in the last 30 years. When I first went to Israel, nobody really ever paid attention to this holiday, but now, and I think that there are capitalistic reasons why it's become much more popular, but I'm talking about Tu B'Av, okay, the holiday that we are in literally today, sundown tonight to sundown tomorrow. Tu B'Av, which means the 15th, it's a date, the 15th of the month of Av. Remember last week I talked some about Tisha B'Av, which is the 9th of the month of Av. Well, this is Tu B'Av, which represents the 15th day of the month of Av. What is the holiday of Tu B'Av? It's a very minor Jewish holiday. The holiday is not mentioned specifically in the Bible per se, although it's based on some biblical principles. Certainly Talmudically, we know that it was celebrated, and not just Talmudically, but other historic sources know that Tu B'Av was celebrated during temple times, if you will. And it was celebrated for three primary reasons during the time of the Second Temple. And it was celebrated first as a grape harvest. You know, there's a lot of Jewish festivals that are tied to harvests. Okay, so one, the grape harvest. The second reason for celebration of Tu B'Av, which kind of alludes even more so to the way it's celebrated today, is because of the modification of the intertribal marriage ban. That's interesting, isn't it? And also for as a wood offering festival. Okay, so these are the three reasons for Tu B'Av. In fact, Josephus, who you're familiar with, of course, a first century historian, writes specifically about one of those three, the Feast of Wood Bearing. And what was that for? That was during which the people brought wood. Typically, the priests would be gathering wood for the altar for sacrifices, but on Tu B'Av, the whole community, everybody would bring wood to the temple for altar sacrifices, and this wood that would be brought by everybody on Tu B'Av would last much of the year, because, you know, it's a lot of wood for the sacrifices. Perhaps you never thought about that, but it's a lot of wood that is needed for the nonstop sacrifices of the temple of the day. Okay, so that's one of the purposes is the wood. I talked about the grape harvest, but also there's this thing about the intertribal marriages and the ban being modified. In Judges chapter 21, there's an annual feast that occurred in Shiloh. Shiloh is, of course, in modern-day Judea and Samaria, in which the sons of the tribe of Benjamin obtained brides from the dancing maidens celebrating there. If you read the story, it's a crazy story, but the men of Benjamin did not have brides, and so they found them from the dancing maidens there in Shiloh during the annual feast that occurred there. And so subsequently, in temple times, certainly in the time of what we read in the New Covenant, on Tu B'Av, what would happen is the maidens of Jerusalem would dress in white and come dance in the vineyards looking for their husbands. And so there are different songs that they would sing that were traditional, but it was quite the shindig. Think of it as almost like the prom, where, except for that you're looking for, it's like, who might be interested in me, as they're dancing in their white. It was considered a joyous, happy holiday, as you might imagine. And it was very, oriented towards love and this kind of thing. Yeshua would have been very, very familiar with Tu B'Av in his day. It was celebrated very much in his time. He would have known immediately what Tu B'Av was. In Israel today, Tu B'Av has become essentially the equivalent of Israel's Valentine's Day. Okay, so you're familiar with Valentine's Day. Well, in Israel, it's corresponds with Tu B'Av, where it's also called Chag HaAhava. Okay, the festival of love. Okay, that's kind of nice. Yeah, Barb likes it. I do too, Barb. Yeah, it's really sweet, you know. And certainly in Israel, while some of the focus is on romantic love, the heritage of the holiday is about community restoration and about love in general. Just it's about love. It's a festival of love and Tu B'Av, and it's everybody in Israel knows what it is now. And it's, and that's why I say it's gained in popularity over the last 30 years. 30 years ago, it was kind of an obscure Jewish holiday that not many celebrated. But of course, as you know, all the people selling chocolates, selling diamonds, selling bracelets, selling candy, selling all the other stuff, suddenly it's a big holiday. Okay, that makes sense. But yet in Israel, it is celebrated by both the secular and the religious. So it's one of the few times that the completely secular celebrate Tu B'Av, but also the ultra-Orthodox celebrate Tu B'Av. And so it's a little bit unusual in that regard, but it's all about love, really. That's what it's all about. It's all about love. That's what the holiday is all about, is love. Don't you love that? Well, you are surely, and that's today, literally, you are surely well aware of the word love. Obviously, you know the word love. And it's interesting, in the Tanakh, much like in English, but in the Tanakh, most commonly the Hebrew word, there's only one Hebrew word typically used for love, ahava. Typically, there's only one word in the Hebrew Bible used for love, okay, ahava. Much like in English, the word love is used for lots of different things, and it's one word. And so you might say, you love your wife, you love your husband, you love your children. But you also might say, I love peanut butter. It's hopefully not exactly the same, okay? Or you love chocolate, you love ice cream. Oh man, how did I get involved in talking about dessert? Oh my gosh, I did it again. Oof. Well, I do love ice cream. Yeah. Yes, I love my children too. Don't get me wrong. Okay. Okay, but you see how one world, you know, or you see a great video on YouTube. Oh, I love that. It's one word that's used in very, very, very profoundly different meanings. In English, we get that. But in the New Covenant, in the Brit Hadashah, we see three distinct words used for love, each with slightly different meanings. And I want to examine them some today and to encourage you that as believers, in general, in whatever form or fashion, our lives should be more focused on love. Which love? Yes. We're going to talk about love today. Love. Oh, wow. Boy. Ooh, okay. This is going to be a good message. Yeah, you're right. It is. Okay, I said there were three words in Greek that were used for love in the New Covenant. That's true, but actually in Greek, there's a total of four words for love. The fourth one is not used in the New Covenant, but that doesn't mean it is inherently wrong or evil. But you'll understand why. The first Greek word for love that's not used in the scriptures is eros, okay? And that is romantic or passionate love, like that within a marriage. And although the word is not used, we know that there is a healthy romantic love within marriages that is affirmed in scriptures in multiple places in both the Old and the New Covenant. So eros is one type of love, which is a beautiful type of love in the right context. Amen. Not used specifically in the scripture, but the love between a man and a woman is mentioned in scripture in multiple places, Old and New Covenant, and can be very, very healthy and can be God-given. Okay, the next type of love that we find out about and read about some in the New Covenant is love that in Greek is the word is storge. And the word storge in Greek for love reflects the love that is between very close relatives, typically. So it's kind of like a love between a parent and their child. That's the kind of love that storge is, or from the child to the parent. You know, it's the same, very, very deep foundational, that between family members. It can be a close relationship. It's the kind of love to a certain extent that you're kind of born into, a love that comes from that established relationship. Parent-child could be like a close uncle, might even be somebody like a close nanny, you know, or a lifelong best friend, somebody who's you've known and been close with for many decades. It's just like that absolute, deep, profound love in that way, that storge kind of love, and it's there's a depth to it. Okay. Interestingly, in Romans chapter 1, you really don't have to turn to it, although you can, but in Romans chapter 1, Rabbi Shaul describes the debauchery of man. He describes in all the ways that, or many of the ways that mankind has fallen and is missing the mark of the high calling of the Lord. And within it, he lists a lot of sins that people have. A lot of sins. And in Romans 1:31, he included in this list is he says, they are foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. The word here, heartless, is actually literally, the literal word in Greek is without storge. Without storge. Not loving to family members. Not loving to those that should innately one should love. So he's elucidating some of the problems of society and those who are depraved. Okay. And part of it is they don't have storge, that they don't have a love, a basic foundational love that they should just have being born into a family. It's implied as being unnatural. It's unnatural not to have this love, right? It's especially harsh not having this kind of love. It's interesting because in 2 Timothy chapter 3, Rabbi Shaul again uses the same word, sorge, indicating, interestingly enough, he's listing also in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he's also listing sins and flaws and foibles and things of a depraved nature, but he's mentioning them relative to what it's going to be like in the end days. And in the end days, he again uses the same word, indicating that it will be prevalent that people are heartless without storge in the last days also. And so it's very, very interesting. I mean, so he's telling us, man, can you not see this? We are seeing it today, big time, a lack of the storge love, which is the love that should be a natural love between family members. You see families divided all the time. I can't tell you how many times in the office I've met with people and they've got issues with family members, even parents and with children, and just issue after issue and sometimes just brutal issues there. Beloved, we need to love our family members. Someone say amen. And those who are especially close to us, we need to love them with this love that is foundational, that should be intuitive to us. But I see it all the time, families split apart. And it's interesting, all the reasons that I see, y'all, the reasons that I see families split apart are not healthy reasons. I see families split apart by money. Families are split apart by hurt. Families are split apart by offense. Man, there's so many times where there's offense. And so it splits families apart. There's not this storge love that should be there, that is unshakable between those who are really close and family members. Sometimes I see families separated by different political philosophies. It's like, wow, that's relative to how foundational and unshakable storge love should be, that is so shallow. But it is a sign of the end times. Rabbi Shaul tells us that in the end times, you're going to see more of this. We see a lot more things that are not natural in terms of the love, right? We see this in society. Friends, I want to encourage you as strong as I can to try to put your hurts aside and love your family. This love is of great importance. Hear me on this. Loving your family does not mean that you agree with them on everything. It does not mean that. Loving them doesn't mean that you have to agree with them on everything or say, yes, you're right about all this, or just allow yourself to just to be a floor mat and receive abuse. That's not what I'm saying. It doesn't mean that they're right and you are wrong. No, it means that you're big enough to look past this and love them anyway. Many, many families have feuds where relatives have not spoken for years. And you know what? I'm going to go out on a limb. It's not much of a limb because I get people in my office who tell me this stuff all the time. There are people in this room like that. There are people watching online or listening to podcasts like that. That you have family members that you have not spoken with for years. Here's what I'm asking. Oh man, boy, I thought I was going to really like this message, but I'm liking it less and less. I'm asking for you to be the first to reach out. Oh, no, 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 Rabbi. You don't understand. You don't understand. I don't have to understand. There needs to be storge. This inerrant familial love that supersedes whatever that is. All right, I'm asking you to be the first to reach out. Will they apologize? If you reach out, will they apologize to you? Probably not. Probably not. That's not the point. I don't care what they do. What they do is between them and God. I hope they respond favorably, but what they do is between them and God. You do your part. You exhibit and demonstrate storge in your life. Love them anyway. Someone say amen. One person. Hope my some of my own family members here. Please, you know, I'm just kidding. The next Greek word for love found in the scriptures we see in the Brit Chadashah is phileo. Phileo. Sometimes when I go to Bones, the restaurant, I will have a phileo. No, it's a different thing altogether. That's not. Although I love Bones, maybe it's related somehow. I got to think about that. I love a good filet. Wow, I wonder if a filet is called because it's love. Okay, anyway, phileo. Okay, that's the Greek word. Phileo is a friendly, affectionate love. A love between friends. A love between companions. It's pretty distinctly a love of choice. Okay, so it's not a love because you were just born into the family and you kind of have to love them with that storge love. No, no. This is a love of choice. Maybe somebody you like hanging with. Phileo. Someone you're fond of or feel a special warmth about. This includes Yeshua, John chapter 11, if you'd like to turn to it, John 11. This includes Yeshua. Because a lot of you are familiar with the love you've already heard, maybe in prior teachings in your life, you've heard about the final love we're going to get to, which is the godly love. I'll get to that in a few minutes. But maybe you don't realize that Yeshua also had phileo love, which is different than the agape love. It's phileo love is the love of somebody that you care about, somebody that you're drawn to, somebody that you have a connection with of some sorts. And this includes Yeshua. You are likely to know, actually, our service leader today, this is one of his Hebrew names, you are likely to know how much Yeshua loved Lazarus. Yeshua loved Lazarus, y'all. It wasn't just, you can tell, guys, that it wasn't just a like he was just purely a follower. Yeshua loved this guy. Like, he liked this guy. The phileo love is like somebody that you really like and that you love them for that reason, if you know what I'm saying. And in John chapter 11, verse 3, something happened. And Yeshua's out ministering, and his verse 3 says, so the sisters sent a word to Yeshua saying, Master, the one you love is sick. Ooh, this is talking about Lazarus. And the word love there, phileo, the one you love is sick. So it's like, hey, Yeshua, your buddy, man, he's very sick. He may die. Pretty intense. And of course, as you know the story, before Yeshua arrives there, sure enough, Lazarus dies. And it's so interesting to see Yeshua's reaction. It's a beautiful thing and really personalizes Yeshua in a way that's so relatable for us. Because his sister is grieving, and in John 11, 35, it says, Yeshua wept. So the Judeans said, see how he loved him. See how he loved him. Yeshua wept. First of all, that's just beautiful. Because Yeshua wept. I mean, Lazarus' sister was in deep, deep mourning. But also, it's so interesting because we know and believe, it's interesting, theologians have looked at this, is that Yeshua knew he was going to raise him from the dead. So, wow, you know, it's interesting, the weeping, the Yeshua wept. What a beautiful part of his humanity. He was all God, but he was all man. And this was his bud. And he could see the grieving of his sister. And all of this, you know, was it one thing? I think it was a combination of things. It's a combination of his buddy and his buddies and of course his sister and all happening at once, and he started weeping. What a profound thing to think that our Messiah weeps for us, weeps for man. God, that's profoundly beautiful. That's beyond what the greatest poem could read. It's interesting that Yeshua wept is the shortest verse in the Bible. It's one of the most beautiful verses in the Bible to me. I love it. Because in two words, it really personifies the fact that Yeshua or exemplifies the fact that Yeshua deeply, truly cares for us and loves us. And in verse 36, the Judean said, "See how he loved him." Again, the words used here for Yeshua's love for Lazarus, phileo. A love that is, it's interesting because you see sometimes the word phileo, especially in biblical times, used and described as brotherly love, but it's actually really meant, ironically, to imply a profound love of choice. So, in its purest form, brotherly love is storge, but yet, brotherly love is oftentimes associated with phileo, especially given the era it was in, because a brotherly love kind of meant this love of a bud, you know, a Jonathan and a David kind of a thing, right? A close friend. Yeshua loved Lazarus with the love of God, yes, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But he loved Lazarus as a friend too. See, that's important to understand. It's interesting, in John chapter 15, you don't need to turn to it, Yeshua calls the disciples his friends. He calls the disciples his friends using a variation of the word phileo. Phileo. I love you, and you're my friends. You're my buds. I love you. In this phileo love, he chose them. You can see also the depth of Yeshua's love in Revelation chapter 3. Again, you don't need to turn to it, but Yeshua even says there that those that he loves, he disciplines. So this is an intimate kind of a care. But even in Revelation 3, the word chosen for love by Yeshua, those that he loves, he disciplines, phileo, that John writes here. Okay, it's a true love and companionship that is caring and lasting and warm. I'm going to tell you, beloved, we need to love with more phileo love. Amen. What am I talking about? We need to be seeking to love people with this phileo love, right? We need to show more concern. We need to show more care. Maybe when we hear that somebody's in the hospital, what's your natural immediate reaction? If you hear about somebody, maybe from the congregation, you know, is your initial reaction, "Oh, wow, that's too bad," or even worse, "Whew, glad that's not me"? don't do that. Okay, I hope that's not you. You know, your reaction should be one of, "Oh, is there anything I can do? And let me try to find something I can do. And let me start by praying for them." See, we need to love in such a way that we help bring meals when somebody has a baby, right? It's tough. I'll tell you from personal experience, if you happen to know somebody who has twins, bring them lots of meals. Okay, I'll even say this: if you know somebody with twins, bring them boxes of diapers. Man, I remember when I went to the Babies R Us, Gen Z. That was a store that they used to have, and I used to get a shopping cart, with like 7 or 8 boxes of diaper. I mean, just making a trip out is a big deal, of these big diapers, you know. And I used to get to the cash register and it was way above my head, the boxes of diapers. And that's all I had in my cart was diapers. And the checkout person looked up and said, "Twins?" And I said, "Yeah." And they said, "Okay." And beep, beep. They started ringing me up and I had to take a second mortgage for diapers. Unbelievable. Phileo, we need to have a heart to sponsor other people when they need help. Dara, our youth director, told me the other day that the teen retreat is coming up later this month. And one of the members came up to Dara and said, "Listen, here, I want to sponsor one of the young people for the teen retreat." And Dara's like, "Oh, okay," because we didn't ask for this. And they said, "Well, yeah, somebody sponsored me many years ago, and I don't even know who it is. And I want to sponsor." And sure enough, there was one of the teens that was not going to go because they couldn't afford it. And Dara contacted them and said to the parent and said, "Hey, I have a sponsor." They're like, "Okay, they're going to go." Right? Am I right about this? That's what happened. I love that. Man, that's phileo love. That is a love, man. To befriend those around us and not to be a recluse. Not to be, wait for it, cliquish. Hear me, Mishpacha. I do not want for Beth Hillel to ever be cliquish. I think that that's one of the strengths of our congregation, is how we love others. But still, I want to make sure it's that way. Friends, we got to be constantly reaching out to others in just a kind, loving way. Just to get to know them, to befriend them, to reach out to them, okay? Now, not just the same people in our group every time. I'm not saying that, well, every Shabbat, you know, "Oh, there's my friend over there, but I can't really say hello to him." It's not about that. Of course, go spend time with your friends. You should. It's great. You have relationships even within the congregation. But always have an eye out to reach out to people. We have a number of people I know who are really gifted in that area. We all know that. We could all probably point fingers to them because they've all befriended us, right, over the years. But still, all of us, even if it's not something that's natural in us, we need to be developing this love within us for others that will draw us to reach out to others. Somebody say amen. Yeah. Just to commune and have a connection. I want to encourage you to ask in a friendly way. Maybe if somebody who's a member here, ask another member that you don't know very well, ask them out to a meal. You know, not just people that you definitely know that you would really, really like, but just people. Maybe invite them to dinner before a Friday service or after a Saturday service. That's a great time. Hey, listen, next Friday before service, you wanna let's grab a bite? I'd love to get to know you a little bit better. And just, you know, you have dinner at a restaurant. You're not even like obligated to host them in your home. Or after a Saturday service, the same way. Just spend an hour with somebody. You don't know what kind of difference that makes in people's lives. This is the way we should be, if you will, or on a weeknight, whatever it is, right? And not just people here. People in the community, people that you interact with at work, people see people at work and they everybody's got that work face. I know I was in the corporate world for many years, AT&T, Coca-Cola, you know this. And you see it, you know, people have their work face on and then they go home and they come in the next day and they have their work face on and they get to work. And, "Oh, yeah, okay, what time's the meeting? 11 o'clock, okay, I'll be there." Yeah, you go in the conference room, you have your meeting, okay. You get back, people get back in their cubicles, they work on the, they, okay, whatever it is, back in the shop, whatever. Okay, people do this stuff, but you got to know that people are hurting. There's a lot of people who are hurting, but they put on work face. You know, even at work, maybe sometimes just say, "Hey, listen, have you had your lunch break yet? I'd love to catch you for lunch. Are you available just to catch a lunch together?" You know, and you just go to, you know, some local restaurant, they go to Chick-fil-A, get God's food while you're there doing it. you know what I'm saying? Just the point is that, how you doing? How are things? And you could tell me about your life. How are things going? Are you doing well? And, you know, and you find out, you'd be amazed how you can be a blessing to people just by reaching out to them. See if you can help somebody. Right now, I have three right now superstars at Bethel El members who are looking for work. It's a little bit unusual right now. I've got three superstars looking for work, different areas. Okay, you know, listen, seek to help somebody. You got a job, and how you doing? You know, what do you do? I'm looking for work right now. Let me see if I can help. Send me your resume. Let me send it to a few people. You know, so much of it. It's just the extra reaching out, man. It's being kind. This is what we should be about, y'all. This is part of what our DNA should be about. Reach out with phileo love to those around us. It's part of our calling. And then, of course, the highest form of love we know, of course, is agape love. Agape is the Greek word. Why is that the highest form of love? That's the kind of love that God shows us. That agape love, right? It is, wait for it, and this is why you'll hear it's heavyweight love. It is selfless, sacrificial, unconditional. Whew, man, that's weighty, dude. And as believers, this is the kind of love that God calls us to show toward Him and each other, according to the Word of God. See, agape love is not based on your feelings. Do I feel like loving someone with agape love all the time? No! I don't, right? But I am called to love them in this way. See, and it starts with our love for the Lord. Let me give you a biblical example of agape love. Get ready. Greek word. What? Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy. Hold on. Rabbi, Len Z knows up front, Deuteronomy, that's not written in Greek. That's written in Hebrew, of course, because it's the Torah. It's in the scroll that we had out a little bit earlier in our service. Okay, what is it? Why would you bring that up as an example specifically of agape love? Well, let's read it first, and then I'm going to tell you how I've deduced that. Deuteronomy 6, hopefully you know it. We say it every single Shabbat. It is so important, the watchword of Israel. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, verse 4, the Lord is one, verse 5. Love Adonai your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Okay. Love God, it says. Love God. And of course, in the Hebrew, it's ahava is the Hebrew word for love. How do I know that this is agape love, since this is the Torah in Hebrew, not Greek? Because, friends, Yeshua specifically quotes the Viahavta. He quotes it in the New Covenant. And when he quotes Deuteronomy 6 in the New Covenant, the word use is agape. Agape love. So that's how we know that is specifically the kind of love that's being spoken about in Deuteronomy chapter 6, because Yeshua lets us in on that little secret. We have to agape love God with everything in us. Agape love God. Because if we do, if we truly love the Lord our God with all your soul, all your strength, all your mind, if you love God with everything, unconditionally, sacrificially, selflessly, if you love God that much, then this, it will be only natural for you to love others this way. Why? Because this is the way that God loves others too. This is the way that God loves others. So if we love God that intently and that purely, then we will begin to love others that selflessly also and sacrificially, because that's how God loves them. And we love God so much. You see how that works? John chapter 13. What did Messiah Yeshua say himself personally to you and me, to us? Very important. He tells us explicitly in John chapter 13, verse 34. Yeshua says, I give you a new commandment that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, so also you must love one another. And by this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Yeshua says here that just as I have agape loved you, you also must agape love one another. And did he do this for us? You all know he did this for us. Just think about it this way. Let me put in these other words that describe agape love. Yeshua is saying, just as I have selflessly loved you, so you must also selflessly love one another. Just as I have sacrificially loved you, so you also must sacrificially love one another. Just as I have unconditionally loved you, so you also must unconditionally love one another. Agape love, friends, it's the highest form of love. And as believers, we should daily be adding this love more and more to our natures as we become more and more like Messiah, because that is his nature, brothers and sisters. If you want to become more like him, you need more love. Specifically, you need more agape love, Romans 12. One of the most beautiful passages that I just love that in many ways encapsulates all of the above. And this is why it's just so beautiful, because God says that he is love. So it should come as no surprise to us that we see all of these loves encapsulated even together in such a way in Romans chapter 12. It's really beautiful. This selfless love that we should have, this agape love, which is so important, is a key part of the equation. Interestingly enough, we see in Romans 12, Rabbi Scholl instruct us that we should have this kind of love between members of our community, and within two concurrent verses, we see all three types of love are used in the Greek. Very interesting to see all three of them together that all of us should be doing, all three types of love. In the English, we simply read in verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy, detesting what is evil, holding fast to the good. Be tenderly devoted to one another in brotherly love. Outdo one another in giving honor. This is instructions for us, but how beautiful and deep when we're looking into the Greek itself, because in verse 9, Paul says and uses agape love. Agape love, let our love be without hypocrisy. It's shocking sometimes what people do, is that they're not being sincere. And if for some reason I collapse because I've got this electrical thing tied around me here with the microphone, if I suddenly collapse, it is not part of my message, okay? I just want to make that clear. Somebody please help me. That would be really, really basic love, okay? In verse 9, Paul uses agape love. In verse 10, both phileo and storge love are used. Philostorgi, familial love, and Philadelphia, brotherly love. It's a little ironic that the brusque city of Philadelphia literally means brotherly love. Whew, wow, that one's a tough one for me to swallow, man. I've been there before. Even they call it really, if you go up there and say, is this a city of brotherly love? They say, this is a city of brotherly shove. That's what they say. Okay, but that love is that friendship love, really. But you see, as we're with each other, especially us as Ma'amanim, as believers, we should have the deep, tender affection for each other as if we were related. We're being challenged here. We're being challenged here by Rabbi Shul that says all the love you should have it, especially for each other. Yes, you should have that storge love for each other, the love that's typically found between close relatives. As believers, that should be our love for each other, as if we're brother, sister, or uncles, or nephew, nieces, cousins, parents, children. It's that kind of a deep, consequential love that is foundational and unshakable. That storge love, that should be part of what we are. We should have the friendly, warm love of choice found in phileo love. So we should have that love just because we want to be around each other. Listen, are some of us quirky? Yes. That makes it fun. Come on. My Aunt Edna passed away earlier this year, just a few days after my dad. His sister, his only sibling. And she was quirky, y'all. She was quirky. Yes. Okay. She's in heaven. She's like, yes, that's right. And I've always said every family has an Aunt Edna. You know, just a little bit quirky. And that's okay. That's okay. Including our spiritual mishpachai here, right? And we also need, yes, that godly, selfless, sacrificial, unconditional love found for each other in agape love. All three types of love in just two verses. Very powerful. Okay, my final thoughts bring me to the quote from Rabbi Robert. And at its core, it's really the central point that we need to take away from the message today, because I can talk all day about love, the different types of love, the importance of love, how God loves us. And everyone here could nod their heads, yes. Yeah. That's all well and good. It's all well and good. That's good stuff. That's great. But at the end of the day, friends, love is not a passive sentiment. Love is, at its core, an action word. Listen to the short poem that Rabbi Robert used to love to quote. A bell isn't a bell until you ring it. A song isn't a song until you sing it. Love in your heart wasn't put there to stay. Love isn't love until you give it away. Friends, biblical love is an unmistakable action word. Biblical love is not just about saying, I love you. A lot of people say, I love you, that's good. But biblical love is much more than that. Biblical love is not a feeling, oh, I feel like I love them. No. It's about doing something that shows your love. It's about choosing to take action and do something. You don't need to turn to it. Going back to John 13, 35, we read it earlier. Yeshua said, by all this, people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. The Greek here for if you have love implies demonstration, not just an internal feeling. It's not about you feeling love for people. It's about you doing love for people. A song is lacking purpose if it is never sung. Love is fruitless unless there is something done with it. I'm going to conclude with 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3, please. 1 John 3, 18. It says, children, talking to all of us, let us not love with word or talk, but in deed and truth. Friends, love must be shown. Tangible, not theoretical or philosophical. It must also be observable. You have to purposely, intentionally show love to others and to God. All forms of love, but the sacrificial, unconditional, selfless agape love most of all. It's not so original, but nothing could be more important that the title of my message is simply love. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to ask if there's anybody here today who's never said a prayer to receive Yeshua as your Messiah. If that is you and you would like to, raise your hand and we'll pray together. If that's you, if you've never given your life to God, but you want to, just lift your hand. Is there anyone? Is there anyone? Lord, I pray for our congregation. I pray that we will be a congregation of love. This will be congregation Beth Ahava, the house of love. Lord, I pray that we love one another with a godly love, with that storge love of family, and that phileo love, Lord, of choice. God, that we love each other with all forms of love, and that we also love others around us in our community. Because by this, we know we're going to be able to share God's love with others. Lord, let us make love an action word. God, I thank you for this and bless you for it. And, Lord, it's just a wonderful, your love for us, which is that unconditional, sacrificial, selfless love. You're a good God. We thank you for these things in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin. Please like, subscribe, and share this link with a friend. We would be grateful to receive your tax-deductible gift to further the good news of Messiah Yeshua. To make a contribution, please click on the PayPal link in the description. Also, to view our regular services, click the link in the description for our YouTube channel. If you would like more information about Yeshua the Messiah or how you can become part of our Bethel family, please visit our website at www.bethelel.org. That's BETHALLEL.org. Or call 770-641-3000. If you are in the Metro Atlanta area, please visit us for an Arab Shabbat service, Friday nights at 8 o'clock, or Shabbat services, Saturday mornings at 11. God bless and Shalom.